The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Well, good morning again. Thank you so much for being here. It is exciting to see each and every one of you, and I'm so excited to be here. I have a real bad habit, though. Can I share with you guys my bad habit? No? You don't want to hear about it? Okay. So I struggle every year at Mother's Day, and then Kelsey made fun of me slightly for this. The very first Mother's Day I was here, I talked with you guys about beauty in the mess. And in the scripture we talked about specifically was what happens in a stable. Where there are many ox, there's much mess. Gonna leave that there. But we talked about how there's beauty in the mess, and that was the very first Mother's Day. And then last year, unfortunately, my sermon title was not the main character. That's super encouraging. This year, the title I had, Kelsey said, no, you can't do that. She said, you are negative every year, and no one wants to come here and negative Mother's Day message. And I said, you're right. And so I changed it to root or fruit. And as I was looking through moms in scripture, I found the story of Naomi. Now, Naomi, if you don't know who Naomi is, that's Ruth's mother-in-law. So the book of Ruth is written kind of in. Today what we're going to do is we're going to walk through the story of Naomi. Now, when you're looking at that, Naomi is not the typical Mother's Day message, maybe. And here's what I mean. Her story starts out really good. Her story starts out very promising. Her story starts out wonderful. But if you know anything about the story of Naomi, it doesn't end. Well, it doesn't. It ends good. It's got the, what do they call it? The theatrical bend, where it starts out really good, and then all of a sudden the plot twist comes, and it goes down, and then all of a sudden it kind of comes back up at the end. And that's really the story of Naomi. And so we're going to start out today. Her story starts out fruitful. When you look at this in Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, it says this: in the days of the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And so a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live in the country of Moab while there was a famine. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife's name was Naomi. And the name of their sons was Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites of Bethlehem in Judea. They went to Moab and lived there. Now, great. Mom, dad, two boys, story starts out pretty good, right? They even, not just that the story starts out good, that there's a mom and a dad and two boys, that's wonderful in and of itself, but even in the place that they're from, there's that little phrase at the end of verse number 2 that said they were Ephrathites. Ephrathites was a specific part of the town of Bethlehem, and what it literally meant was fruitful. They were fruitful people. Naomi's story starts out with a very phrase, hey, they were a fruitful family. Their family was fruitful. And it makes me think of Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Jesus is telling his disciples, they'll know you by your fruit, right? As followers of Christ, as Christians, you and I are called to be known by our fruit. The people of Bethlehem and Judea were to be known by their fruit. Well, what happens when there's no fruit in Bethlehem and Judea? They go to a different place where there is food. Again, this story starts out really good. How many of y'all, anybody remember last year, Father's Day? We had to cancel Father's Day at church. Not bitter about it at all. Moms get their whole Sunday. Dads get, you know, canceled. We canceled because there was no power, because we had the bad storms come through. And I'll never forget, we went where there was power. Lufkin, Texas. I didn't even know there was a town called Lufkin, Texas until we showed up there one day and they had power. So when there isn't something, we go and we find it. If you're hungry, what do? Find food. You call mom and say, Mom, can you fix me something? So her family, Naomi's family, starts out. There's no food. They find food and they go there. The story starts out so good. It starts out like just like it should. But then not long into her story, verse 3 actually, it kind of starts to spoil a little bit. Here's what I mean. Ruth chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. She was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died. Naomi was left without her two sons or her husband. Man, it didn't take long for that to go down, did it? Just one verse after you find out her family, her name literally means fruitful, you start to see this idea where things kind of start to spoil a little bit. You say, well, why did things spoil a little bit? Well, the first thing that happens is her husband dies. That's sad in and of itself. That's not a real happy note. But the other thing that you may not have noticed as to why the spoil starts is this. It says there that her two sons married Moabite women. That was something they weren't supposed to do. Now, I'm going to be real personal for a second because I've been on the other side of this. Kids ever make a decision that you don't want them to? Tough, isn't it? Tough to watch them make this decision and know, hey, listen, this is not what I would want for you, but they do it anyways. How many of you were the kid that made those decisions? And it's tough. And so I can imagine Naomi sitting there and watching her two sons marry these Moabite women. And there's part of her that's excited. There's part of her that's happy because they found somebody and they're with somebody. And that's great and that's good. But there's this other part of her kind of down under the surface a little bit that's like, man, they're not supposed to do this. This isn't what they're supposed to do. And what happens is actually when we surround ourselves with people who aren't doing what they're supposed to do, a little part of us starts to spoil. And what's supposed to be fruitful starts to turn sour a little bit. Now, in Naomi's life, it doesn't stop there. Unfortunately, she doesn't just start to spoil. She actually turns outright bitter. If you jump down to verse number 8 through 15 of chapter 1, you have a long passage, but Naomi goes to her daughters after this, her daughter-in-laws after this, and says, go back to your homes. Go back to your moms. May God show kindness to you. You've shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me, but go home. Verse 9, she says, may the Lord grant each of you to find the rest in the house of another husband. She kissed them both, and they wept out loud, and she sent them away. Go back to your daughter. And they said, we'll go back to your people. But Naomi said, no, listen, go home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons that could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if there was still hope for me, even if I had a son today, or a husband tonight, and gave birth to two sons, would you wait till they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it's more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand is turned against me. At this, they wept aloud. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. Look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people, her gods. Go back with her. In other words, this whole passage is Naomi saying, listen, go back. I've got nothing left for you. I'm no longer fruitful. I'm no longer good. I've got nothing. I've done nothing right. Just go back. In fact, when you finish this passage in verse 20, she goes back to her people. And her people say, oh, it's Naomi. And she says, no, listen, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara. Because I'm bitter. Y'all ever get bitter? And it's funny, as I read through this passage, and I tried to imagine what she was feeling, and it makes sense. Logically, this doesn't seem like a good idea, right? Why would your daughter-in-laws go back with you? She has no means of providing for them. It's hard enough to take care of yourself, let alone two other people that you're responsible for. The best thing that they can do is just go back with their own people. And I started thinking about what made her bitter. Well, she stopped bearing fruit. Hey, listen, I know it's Mother's Day and you came here just to be encouraged and uplifted, and I hope you are. But can I caution you, Christian? not just moms, Christians. When you stop bearing fruit, you allow bitterness to creep in. When you stop serving, when you stop doing things that glorify God, when you stop living your life with intentional purpose to glorify God, bitterness is going to creep in. You say, well, not me. I'm not bitter about nothing. This nonsense that they keep doing. Why do they keep doing? We used to have the songs in the bulletin, Miss Bonnie. Why do they do that? Just some other nonsensical thing that church does down there. Listen, they don't even have paint on the walls. How silly is all this nonsense? Gotta do something, mess with something at church. Are you bearing any fruit? You get bitter in your family. You get bitter in your work. You get bitter in life. My first question for you is, are you bearing any fruit? Because when we stop bearing fruit, we become bitter. See, when Naomi, all she could see was the emptiness that she had. She didn't see the possibility. She didn't see all the things that God could do. All she could see was her present circumstances and the emptiness that she felt in her life, and it caused her to become bitter. Man, going back to Matthew chapter 7, she's kind of failing the test, isn't she? How many of you would love to have Naomi as your mom? Real personal story. I blew it yesterday. Bad. I was on my way out the door, had my keys in the hand. I was going to the office for a second. And all of a sudden, two of my children, who were named nameless, started fighting. And this had gone on all morning long. Tried to have a nice Mother's Day breakfast for Kelsey. They fought the whole time. They don't like what we cooked. They don't do this. They don't do that. As I'm walking out the door, man, they just erupt into a fight over a Peppa Pig helicopter or something. I don't even know what it was. But man, I lost it. Now, I didn't hit anybody. I didn't say anything that I should not have said. But the tone of my voice was awful. I had a sore throat. I thought I was having a stroke the rest of the day because I felt like part of my face was just like... So much so that the other two who weren't even in the fight were crying. And I realized, man, I blew it as a parent. And that moment, that was one of the worst things I could have done. Could I have got my message across a much different way? Yeah, I could have. Should I have got my message across a different way? Yeah, I probably should have. And I never forget feeling it. And I left, and it's so funny. I left the house, came up to church. I got my stuff that I was doing in the office. And this sermon was running through my head. It's funny how God does stuff like that. Because at that moment, I felt like the fruit of my life wasn't really showing what it should have. The fruit of my life wasn't showing that I was a follower of Christ. The fruit of my life wasn't showing my children that there's love and peace and patience and kindness and goodness. The fruit of my life was bitter. It was ugly. And for a moment I felt exactly like Naomi, I feel like. I knew exactly what she felt like.
You're not by yourself.
I know, that's why we're talking together, because I'm with you. Blew it. But man, look at some other things as we look at this story of Naomi. Because right now, if we were to end service right now, which we're not going to do because we've still got a couple minutes. I know, it'd be nice if we did. But if you keep looking at Naomi's story, right now she's not the trophy mother. But then I started thinking about, look at her life a little bit closer. Her roots were deep. Go into Ruth chapter 2, verse 20. Boaz is talking and he's told Ruth that she can glean in his fields anytime she wants and that he can take care of her a little bit. And Naomi tells Ruth, may the Lord bless him, Naomi told her daughter-in-law. He is showing his kind. He is showing his kindness to us as well as your dead husband. That man is one of our closest relatives, one of our family redeemers. Now, what's cool about this, you say, is Naomi's family was so well thought of that people were looking out for her dead family's relatives. I love talking to students and getting this question, honor your father and mother means what? Somebody said it. Obey them, right? And it is. That's an element of it. But the term honor is so much bigger than that. It means that people think higher of your mom and dad because of how you live. And it's interesting when I look at this and I see how people honored Naomi's family simply because they were Naomi's family. They honored her. They paid her respect because somewhere deep, her family had this established root that said, we're a good, God-fearing family who lives their life full of fruit. Somewhere in Naomi's past, somewhere when they had two kids and they had a husband, she had a husband, and everything was right and was perfect and was fruitful in her life, it made an impact on somebody's life. And people remembered her fruitfulness even when she wasn't fruitful anymore. And they took care of her family because of what she had done. Is that us? Is that me? Am I living the kind of life that one day when I go home, somebody's going to take care of them because of the life that I lived? Am I living the kind of life that other people are going to say, hey, listen, I was blessed to know John. Are you living that kind of life? Are we living the kind of lives that are establishing deep roots way down deep to where even when our fruit is no longer visible, our root system is still producing something good in other people's lives? It didn't just stop there. If you keep going, in fact, not only were her roots deep, but her roots were solid. Ruth, and you have a ton of scripture there in Ruth, chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. This is when Ruth talks to Naomi and says, but Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I'll die. Now, what has Naomi done to deserve this loyalty? She established some solid roots back in the day. Because Ruth's husband treated her well enough, was the man that he should be well enough, to where now Ruth is more concerned with staying with her mother-in-law than she is going back with her people. You know why? Because Naomi was a good mom. Naomi taught her boys how to care for somebody. Naomi taught her sons how to be good husbands, how to be good men, how to take care of their wife. And now all of a sudden you're seeing the fruit of that in how Ruth responds to Naomi. What are you teaching? You say, well, I'm past kids' age. My kids are all grown on their own. Hey, if you're under the age of 15, stand up real quick. Take a look around real quick. You're teaching somebody. Somebody's watching everything you do. All right, you guys can sit down. Thank you so much. Hey, before we leave, I need y'all's help passing out gifts. Remember, meet me at the back after church. We're going to pass out gifts. Everybody who just stood up. Awesome. Her roots were deep, but her roots were solid. See, even when there was no fruit in her actual life, the fruit from her roots was still manifesting itself. It was still playing out because of what Ruth did. Not just with Ruth, but also when you look at Ruth's care for Naomi as they get back to Bethlehem. It talks about how Ruth the Moabite said, let me go to the fields and pick leftover grain behind anyone whose eyes I find favor in. Hey, listen, Naomi, let me take care of you. We're back in your country, and I understand that I'm the foreigner here, but let me do something to take care of you. You jump down to chapter number 3, verse number 5. Ruth and Naomi have found out that Boaz is their kinsman redeemer, and Ruth has found favor in Boaz's sight. And so now Naomi and Ruth come together and they say, listen, we've got a plan as to how we can get his attention. And Ruth says, whatever you tell me to do, I'll do it. Why is that blind obedience there? Because somewhere in Naomi's past, she lived such a solid life that Ruth said, hey, listen, I don't get it. I don't understand everything. Do you know what the custom was? This was it. Uncover his feet and lay at his feet. How many of y'all are feet people? We share the same bed. My feet can't touch her feet in bed or she loses it. She will kick a storm. Soccer player got nothing on that, man.
Too much information.
Sorry. But that's what Naomi tells Ruth to do, is lay at Boaz's feet. Now, what kind of custom is that? Oh, that's a Jewish custom. I'm not a Jew. Nope. Not me. I don't have to follow this custom. This seems weird. This seems crazy. And I'm not really that big on feet. But what does she say? Hey, listen, whatever you say to do, I'll do it. Why? Because somewhere in Naomi's past, when she lived this life before Ruth, Ruth saw something in her that said, whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. I don't get it. I don't understand it, but I'm going to follow you. How many of us live that kind of life? I don't get it. I don't understand it. But man, if they're doing it and I'm watching them and they're making an impact for the kingdom of God, I don't understand it, but I'm going to do it too. I don't understand. I can't. It doesn't make sense to me, but I'm going to follow them. Later on, Naomi comes to Ruth and tells her everything that's happened. And again, Boaz says, don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed. He sends her with 6 measures of barley. It's the idea that everything that Ruth does is taking care of Naomi. You say, well, then, John, that's great. What a wonderful Mother's Day sermon. Thank you so much for that. There's one more part of the story that's really cool. It's the end. The end of the story goes something like this. Naomi's roots give her the ability to produce new fruit. As you read down in chapter 4, Boaz took Ruth. She became his wife. When he had made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, please, praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, is better than 7 sons, has given birth to him. Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. And the woman living there said, Naomi has a son. And they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Why? Because there were some roots that were solid. One of my favorite passages of scripture in Job chapter 14, verse 7-9, it says this, at least there is hope for a tree when it's been cut down, that it will sprout roots and a new shoot will not fail. Its roots may grow old in the ground and its stump die in the soil, yet at the scent of water it will bud and put forth shoots like a plant. You know what that says? It says, church, it's never too late. I don't care if the past season of your life has been fruitless and you can show nothing good for yourself, and you came here this morning because it's Mother's Day and you had to come, but you are barren, you are empty, and you are bitter. Church, it's not too late. Because if there is a root at the hint of water, at the hint of God doing something in your life, you too can produce something new like you have never seen before. Church, it's not too late. Listen, I understand that the past of your life may have been marked by bitterness, may have been marked by spoil, where you surrounded yourself with people who didn't do what they were supposed to do, and it caused you to become spoiled and bitter and empty, and you just came here today to get through another day, and that's it. But it doesn't have to go like that. Because you're here today because somewhere in your life there's a root. Maybe it was a mother, maybe it was a grandmother, maybe it was a father, maybe it was somebody. And maybe you're here today simply because of them. But listen, there's a root and it's solid and it's deep. And it's planted in your life. And what it tells you and I is this, is that it is never too late. I don't care what kind of past you've had. I don't care what kind of fruitless season you've gone through. This morning can be the turning point for all of it. Because this morning, you can decide that root that's way down deep, that somebody planted so long ago, I'm going to allow it to become fruitful. I'm going to water it. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to stop making decisions that don't glorify God. I'm going to start getting involved where God's at, and I'm going to start bearing fruit in my life again. And you get to be the one that changes things. Because of what Christ has put and planted in your life. Church, it's not too late. Any day now, that root can start to produce a new type of fruit. And you know what people are going to say? Oh man, I didn't see that coming out of that person. I never would have imagined that they would be doing that. God, thank you so much for today. Father, we thank you for the roots in our life. Lord, they may be deep. They may be hidden. They may be covered up by years of bitterness, by years of anger, by years of fruitless living. But God, this morning, I wonder if there's someone here who needs to say, I'm done with that. I'm done with that, and in this root that's deep, deep down inside my life. God, I want to water it. I want to surround myself with things and people that glorify you. So God, I pray that during this time of worship, and decision, God, we will respond appropriately to whatever you're doing. Father, if that's a desire to come to join this church because they want to be surrounded by people who love you, then God, I pray that people would join this church. God, if that's to make a first-time decision or a commitment to Christ, because while that root was planted, Father, it was never, that seed was planted, it was never grow into anything of a personal relationship with you. God, if they just need to recommit their life, if they need to take the next step of obedience, of baptism, of surrendering to what you're calling them to do, Lord, I pray during this time, you would do something new from the roots in our life. And God, we would be obedient to you. We pray this all in Jesus' name.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.